welcome to it. It is another edition of the Shaggy Jenkins Show. I am, of course, your host, Shaggy Jenkins. Hey, if you do like the show, I would like to ask you to do some stuff at the end of the show. But what are we going to be covering today? It's all about the four, count them, one, two, three, four, disasters that are coming to Maui and have actually already started. Okay? Now, before we get into that, I should probably get a little bit of an introduction. Hi, my name is Shaggy. I am a radio host for over 27 years, a morning show and afternoon personality here on the lovely Valley Isle of Maui, as well as, well, let's just go ahead and say there's probably a lot of stuff on that list that we can get to in future episodes. It's been a little bit of a time since we've had the show on the air. Back in 2019, we kind of wrapped things up, and we started up again last week for a very particular reason. And that is because we, this show, my family, and all the people that you know associated with it, live on Maui. And as you know, August 8th, not a good night for Maui as wildfires destroyed tons of structures, killed a bunch of people, and the worst is not even there yet. You see, when I talk about four disasters, and this happens in every single natural disaster that you've had in modern history, there's always waves of stuff. And we'll start with disaster number one, which is the event itself. The event in question, of course, is the Maui wildfires. On August 8th, a bunch of them broke out. And the thing that you have to understand is, I know a lot of people on social media are always, Lahaina, 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 but please keep in mind, multiple wildfires broke out all over the isle, and the area of the island that I live on, upcountry, had a lot of devastation on it, and not a lot of people even mention us in passing. And all the attention seems to go to the one disaster that is newsworthy. But the thing is that there was more than just one fire. And the saddest part is we're still trying to contain them almost a month later. Now, the thing is with the disasters themselves, okay, when they first happened, there is, I would like to say, a real big, heavy feeling of, oh my God, what can I do? And that's exactly what happened on this time. As the wildfires raged, people were already, before firefighters even got things under control, people were already saying, how do we support these people? How do we get relief to them? What do we do? And while that is all good intention stuff, we need to move on to disaster number two. You see, besides the wildfires, the actual natural disaster that affected everybody here on Maui, the second disaster is something that you probably wouldn't even suspect. You see, after a disaster, all these well-intentioned and well-meaning people like to come together and say, what can I do? And the first thing that they always decide on is donating clothing. You probably know that. I mean, I'm guilty of it as well. When the fires broke out in upcountry in Lahaina, first thing I did, we have clothes that we have just got packed away in bags. Why do we need these when there's going to be people that need them? So, of course, we donated our clothing. That's when, oh gosh, a little bit of research took me to a 2010 earthquake that happened in Haiti. You see, after the massive earthquakes, and we're talking devastating, it wiped out the island, much like the wildfires wiped a third of Maui out. But when these events were over, the country started to receive an overwhelming amount of clothing donations. That became a problem. You see, because there's only so many people and so many bodies that are going to need clothes, yet because people's feelings of wanting to do something, of wanting to be involved, they want to donate more, and that exceeded those immediate needs. Now, that created a bunch of other smaller problems around the disaster relief itself. One of them was the logistical challenge of actually distributing and, unfortunately, having to store all of these donations that weren't needed at that immediate time. This diverted resources and time away from more critical tasks, providing medical care, shelter. It also collapsed the local clothing economy because who wants to buy new clothes from local clothing people if you have all of these free surplus clothes around? The excess clothing not only had a negative effect on the resources and time dedicated to critical tasks, infrastructure, medical care, shelter, food, but it also almost completely wrecked the local economy. It absolutely undermined all of the local textile industries, and that made it harder for those businesses to recover. And see, the second wave disaster is something that we don't think. It's the good intentioned. It's the nice, good feelings that we always want to have and to share. You know, it's when you've lost everything in a fire, and I can tell you from experience, it's really good when somebody offers you something that you desperately need. But when it starts to add up and you start to run out of space to store it, and then all of a sudden it's so massive that you have to deal with it before you can actually deal with the crisis that you're in, you can see where that becomes a little bit of a disaster. And although, like I said, it's good intentioned, it's nice people that do this stuff, the ramifications of this donation wave that happens immediately after a disaster usually has negative implications for at least the foreseeable future. Okay, now that brings us to disaster number three. Because you see, when you're having to deal with this overabundance of donations, you need people to handle that, right? Well, a lot of times, and this is what we've learned recently here on Maui, the people that like to step in and handle these overabundance of donations are government entities. Yeah. You've probably seen all the little crazy stuff about us having to deal with FEMA, and it's nothing that we haven't heard from other places in the United States that's had to deal with this before, too. When FEMA comes in, they like to try to get a hand on stopping the second disaster. And as such, let's just go ahead and say they don't do a good job of it. I mean, as much as we really, really depend on these government agencies like the Federal Emergency Management Administration and all of these others, the EPA and all of the stuff that has to come in after a disaster to make sure it's safe to live in, there is, in the third disaster, something that we all know happens, but we don't say it enough. The inadequacy of the government response. The ineptitude of these people that are coming to an area that they have no understanding of, and they're just trying to do a good job. And it's further complicated when in a situation like this, you have state agencies, private agencies, and federal agencies all trying to vie for some sort of place in this whole hierarchy. There's a lack of coordination. There's a definite lack of effective communication between all of these levels, federal, state, county, and government, and this exacerbates challenges faced by people trying to recover. Now, keep in mind, we're three disasters in, and the fourth one is still to come. But when you think back, you think about Katrina, think about Hurricane Andrew, you think about the quakes that happened in San Francisco and all of these major natural events, the one story that comes at the end of them is typically how inept or inadequate government support was and how it actually hindered the recovery of that section or of that area in the wake of a natural disaster. Now, those third wave disasters can have very bad consequences, from loss of property, loss of life, loss of safety to, well, let's not get into the rest. It's a long list of things that can happen in the third disaster. But the worst disaster is the fourth. The fourth disaster I think is not easy for people to realize is happening. The Lahaina fires destroyed 2,200 structures. These structures were built anywhere from the early to mid 20th century all the way up until the early 21st century. And that entails multiple different levels of building code and safety. And that also means what type of materials are used. You see, the fourth disaster is the disaster that comes after everything is supposedly good and long-term, down the road, health consequences start to happen. You see, here with all of our structures and everything destroyed, we have everything from benzene to lead to arsenic to asbestos to all kinds of nasty little things that have been turned into ash and are now airborne. Now, where do we have an example of this happening before in the United States? 9/11. You see, the 9/11 attacks in New York City, the first thing that everybody did was, of course, they rushed in to help. But many years later, as analysis was happening, and we already have part of that analysis happening now, you've seen the announcements from the County of Maui, the State of Hawaii, saying, we're putting in air quality monitoring stations. They put those all around New York in the wake of 9/11. And yes, they started to show that there was some hazardous stuff in the air. Well, all of those first responders who rushed in to help all of the people in Ground Zero, years and years later, after all of the work was done, after all of the good intentions that they had and that moment were done and over and they had helped as many people as they could possibly help, then they started to need help as well. Respiratory problems, tons of different types of cancers, all kinds of health problems across the board, and we're talking mental and physical, started to affect all of these first responders. Now on Maui, where we have around 100 different fire department people total, and we only have so many cops as well, you can see that right now, they're still all kind of busy trying to clean up stuff, trying to get into Lahaina to finish identifying all of the places where the dead could be, trying to recover bodies, trying to do all of that, well, investigative work. While they're there, they're taking in particles that will not hurt them immediately, but will hurt them in the years to come. Now, if you need something as like far as another example, I gave you 9/11, but why don't you think about the one that HBO made a killer show out of, the Chernobyl disaster in 1986. See, residents in that area were exposed to radiation. Of course, radiation's easy to understand. It causes cancer and other medical conditions. The thing is that so is bad air. Bad air is exactly like that. You don't see it. You kind of smell something different, but it's nothing that has a physical thing where you're like, oh my God, I'm in danger. See, the fourth disaster always comes years after the initial one. And it can manifest anything, like we mentioned, it could be cancers. It could be respiratory problems. It could be cardiac problems. It could be long-term lingering mental health issues that these guys will be dealing with. And I hate to say this, they will be dealing with it alone for years to come. You see, unlike the people that were all very, very much worthy of support in New York, we don't have a lot of people here on Maui clamoring for the safety of our first responders, even though all of us kind of suspect what is going to happen. The EPA has put out wearing your mask advisories to use PPE if you're in the area. And of course, there's so many times that people are having to go in and out of this disaster area here on Maui for different relief services that maybe sometimes they forget a mask. Maybe sometimes they forget gloves. It doesn't hurt them immediately, but in the years to come, these are things that will manifest. And the problem is that unlike the 9/11 fund that was finally, after years and years and years of fighting by many famous people, finally codified into law, we currently do not have anything at the county, state, or federal level for the first responders here on Maui. And we know, come these 4 or 5 years down the road, we're going to start seeing all of these guys have some health problems. And unlike all of the rest of the hoopla of the first disaster, when everybody can see the disaster, it's something that's very visceral, very in front of you. The fourth disaster is silent, it's hidden, and a lot of times it happens way after the national spotlight, the attention spotlight has shifted far, far away. And that's going to be a disservice to the first responders here on Maui, because they put in tons and tons of hours. There was no backup. We didn't get backup from other islands until a day or more of having to fight the fires by ourselves. And keep in mind, when I said there was multiple fires on Maui, these fires combined destroyed over 2,300 structures and decimated more than 3,000 acres of land. So there was a lot of stuff that could have been in the air. Anything from up here in the upcountry area, farming equipment, old fuel, old batteries, and things like that, to all the building material that I told you was ranging from the early 20th century all the way up to the early 21st century. The fourth disaster, though, when it happens, will happen at a time that nobody cares anymore. And that's what happened to the 9/11 first responders. It took so long to convince people that these problems started with the very first disaster before they would actually take care of the sufferers of the fourth disaster. Now, the thing is because of all of these disasters that are happening here, life will take time to recover. The infrastructure and all of the basic bits of Lahaina won't be built or planned to be built for years down the road. And that's all well and good. But see, right now, there's a ticking time bomb. See, those years down the road, residents and first responders that are around that disaster area are going to need additional help. And when they do, will we still be around to care? And that's something that you should think about. Because understanding the four disasters is essential to improving our disaster response and recovery efforts. And if Katrina was a lesson and 9/11 was a lesson, we need to have those lessons understood here on Maui before we're learning an even worse one in the future. Now, if you like the show, make sure that you subscribe, throw me a review or a like. I'll see you next time on the Shaggy Jenkins Show.